Hey, amen. Well, good morning, everybody, and happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. I'm grateful to be in the land of the living and to, in fact, see this day. Not by accident that he allowed it, but just because of his grace and because of his mercy. To Pastor A and to Elder Deborah and to Elder Bobby and any of the other clergy who may be listening, thank God for you and for doing what God has called you to do. To all of the mothers, to brothers, sisters alike, we thank God for you this morning because it's a good thing to be able to come together with this virtual expression to lift up the name of Jesus. It's interesting how COVID, post-COVID, has opened so many new doors for us that may have existed all along, but we just were not aware of them. So we're grateful for this means of coming together to all of the persons that may be on the line that I have invited, that I mentioned, I should say mentioned that I was going to be the person who would bring the word this morning if you were able to join. Thank God for you being on the line. I promise that I won't be before you. I won't take very long to do this. I know this is Mother's Day, and many of you may have planned to be a part of Mother's Day brunches or special lunches or whatever. Don't want to take up time to do that. But I want to share with you what the Lord has shared with me. And if you will pray as I am doing this, I will do what the Lord has called me to do, and I will be done. The prophet Isaiah has written in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Has thou not known? Has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This morning, as God has allowed it to be, as he has directed my spirit, I want you to go with me to the book of Jeremiah. And I want to read in your hearings from chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 4 through 8. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, and I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, verse 4, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And ordained thee a prophet unto the nations, verse 5. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Verse 6. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Verse 7. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Verse 8. And then we want to add verse 9, which is why I hesitated. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Those are the first, the four verses 4 through 9 from Jeremiah chapter 1. And as the Lord has directed me for the time that is allowed to me this morning, I want to preach from the subject or from the theme, conceived to achieve. Conceived to achieve. Let us pray. Wow. Gracious and eternal God, we come this morning thanking you for another day that you have kept us from all evil with our minds stayed on you. Your instruction is simple. This is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad. So, God, we're rejoicing this morning, and I specifically and personally ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, you remain my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Proceed to achieve. Jeremiah 1, verses 4 through 9. The first chapter of Jeremiah has been described as the call of a reluctant prophet. Essentially, Jeremiah was not necessarily convinced that he was the one who should have been providing the message, the thus saith the Lord message that had been given to him. God had called Jeremiah to bring a message that seemed like madness to his generation. God wanted the people to know that judgment through the Babylonians was inevitable. However, I would not have you lose sight of the main theme of this book. So understand what God is really saying to Jeremiah to say to the people. Although they were going to be plucked up and scattered far from their land because of their iniquities, in due time, God would allow a remnant to return, and the land would be replanted by the Israelites who had repented, who were now faithful, and who would become fruitful unto the Lord. Amidst all of this trust that God had placed in Jeremiah, Jeremiah offers an excuse to release him from conveying God's message to the people. Jeremiah said, "I don't know how to speak. I am only a child." God responds to Jeremiah by saying, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone to whom I will send you and say whatever I command you. And Jeremiah, I caution you, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you." If we simply just exegete that first passage and just think for a minute, so many times in our lives, we wrestle with who we are and what God has called us to be and to do. We praise this inevitable searching as maybe going through an identity crisis, and we're attempting to find ourselves and perhaps determine what really gives our lives meaning. My real problem with all of this is that I fail to understand how we can allow our own meanderings to blindside us to God's ultimate will and purpose for our lives. If we ever needed to know that our anchor holds and grips the solid rock, now is the time. I cannot recall anything I have experienced in my previous life that replicates the situations we are facing today. The world appears to be going to hell without any remorse. We are no longer our brother or sister's keepers. We're visibly challenged on a daily basis by all of the senseless killings, the wickedness in high and low places, and the senseless acts that bespeak man's inhumanity to man. We dare not attempt to exchange a simple, pleasant greeting with persons that we randomly meet for fear that a disrespectful and maybe racially insensitive retort might be the reply. When did all of this begin? Is this the post-COVID era that we attribute to having sheltered in place for too long? Is it reminiscent of the aftermath of the Trump regime and possibly the uncertainty that suggests another Trump reign might be on the horizon? Where is our hope? What has happened to our excitement about the future? Did we forget that as believers, we know who holds the future? Do we need to be reminded that our hope is still built on nothing less than Jesus and his righteousness? We ought to still proclaim that we are standing on Christ, the solid rock.
Amen.
Well, I'll say it succinctly. I do not know your story, and you do not know mine. I do not know about the mountains that he has brought you over or the valleys he has seen you through. However, I want to briefly encourage you through the prophet Jeremiah that God will take care of you. Yes, if you will follow my logic briefly, I will be finished in just a few moments. Remember how God speaks to Jeremiah in verse 5? He says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, before I formed you in the womb. Not after, but before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. In other words, my brothers and my sisters, you were formed and conceived for a purpose.
Yes.
That is why you are destined for greatness. You do not have to reduce yourself to the madness of this world. You can still take the high road because you are God's property and you were conceived to achieve. God is basically saying, I knew you before there was a you to be known by anyone else. I took the time and decided just what and just who you would be long before anyone else knew that there would even be a you. May I take it a little bit further? Before you were in the womb, before I even began to form you there, I knew you. Ultimately, I had ascertained the number of hairs on your head. I knew when you would grow tired and when you would grow weary. I knew when you would feel like giving up. I knew your down sittings and your uprisings. I knew your name before you were conceived. I called you by name. It is not by accident that you endured some light afflictions. Those were only mere challenges to strengthen you. So what does all of this knowledge mean? I know who you are, who you would become, and what you would do. Notwithstanding all of this, understand, I offered you, with all of this knowledge, I offered you free will. And then I gave you the opportunity to be reconciled back to me, just in case you got off track. I dispatched goodness and mercy as needed to ensure that you would be able to dwell in my house forever. Thank you, Jesus. I called you to speak a word on my behalf and be a Jeremiah in this world in which we live. We have come to a place in society where someone has to stand and say, because of God's grace, I am still here. I have to live and declare his goodness in the land of the living. If I might be just a bit colloquial, I would submit to you this morning that you be still and know that God is still God. Just relax and know that God's got this. This is our consolation today in times of worry and frustration. We have placed way too much responsibility on ourselves trying to figure things out. Someone said, while we're trying to figure it out, God has already worked it out. That's why that problem that I had and I just could not seem to solve. I tried and I just got deeper involved. But then I turned it over to Jesus and I stopped worrying about it. And when I gave it over to the Lord, he worked it out. Perhaps if we are really going to achieve what God has for us, we might have to be described as weeping messengers, similar to Jeremiah. Research indicates that Jeremiah was described as a weeping prophet because his heart was so tender. He was determined to be faithful to God and share God's word with the people. Similarly, we have to go forth and proclaim that God is still good when things look bad. Our hearts may be heavy and tears may come from our eyes when we hear about all of the senseless acts of violence. When we hear about men and women, black on black crime, people shooting each other and killing each other for seemingly no reason, we still have to remember that God has given us a word, and we must give that word to the people. We have to go forth and proclaim that God is good even when things look bad. He is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. We need not fear people when they pull up, for instance, alongside of us in their cars and race their motors and signal obscene gestures. He is with us always, even to the ends of the earth. Just continue to be reminded of why he even formed you and what he knows about you. Do you think that you have achieved just because you have reached that place in society where you have the house that you always wanted and the car that you were never previously able to afford? Maybe you believe that you have made it now that you have the keys to the executive floor and your name has finally made the list for the executive office perk, the company car, your own parking place, profit sharing plans, and these things are now all yours because you have made it. Maybe you feel that you have made it, but I beg to differ. To achieve in the sight of God means to successfully bring about or reach a desired outcome, a desire. God level by effort, by skill, or by your courage. I would not want to leave you in a state of confusion. So permit me to make this crystal clear. Jeremiah has reminded us that we need not be afraid to deliver God's word. Well, you might ask me, then when do you achieve? When do I really achieve? My brothers and my sisters, when your words and your ways please God, you have achieved. When he symbolically lets you know that he has put forth his hand and touched your mouth, you have achieved. When his words are your words, you have truly achieved. It is not a question of how long it takes you to achieve, but rather that you have been obedient to what he knows about you. It is a good thing to know the Lord, but it is a far better thing to relax in the certainty that he knows you by name. He called you for such a time as this. I say to you this morning that you were conceived to achieve. You were not formed to be great for yourself, but to manifest the greatness of our God. Don't get it twisted. We are not all that. But rest assured that we are a product of God's plan for our lives. His plan, according to Jeremiah 20, 29 and 11, is to prosper you and not to harm you. A plan to give you hope and a future. After all of this job security, why should you be concerned about a reduction in force or a layoff on your job? The employer that I'm talking about will never fail you. He's going to bless your going out. He's going to bless your coming in. He said to you, if you delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. When your mission is consistent with what he formed you to do, there's no need to worry about the fiery dots of the enemy. Somewhere I read that when your ways please God, he will even make your enemies be at peace with you. You have all that you need to do all that he has called you to do. What is the beauty of all of this? Why is this so significant? Why is this so important? It is important and it's significant because you are guaranteed a reward for fulfilling his mission. Trust me when I tell you, there is a great payoff. There is something coming that is much better than the keys to the executive washroom. There's something coming that is much better than a profit sharing plan. There's something coming that is much better than a parking place with your name on it. I want you to know that when you do what God said, when you were conceived as he formed you to achieve, you can anticipate hearing him saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have successfully brought about the outcome that I desired of you. You have kept the faith. You have achieved the result that I desired for you because of your effort, because of your skill, and because of your courage. You were faithful over a few things. Come on into the place I have prepared for you and now become ruler over many things. Don't even be concerned about your earthly house, because when that house passes away, just know that you have another building that was not made by hand. Sometimes you can't seem to make it when it looks as though the race is dark and dreary and you don't know which way you need to go. Somebody said that problem that I had and I just couldn't seem to solve. I cried and I cried until I got deeper involved. But when I turned it over to Jesus, I stopped worrying about it. I gave it over to the Lord. And now I know he'll make a way somehow. Like a ship that's tossed and driven, buried by an endless sea. When the storms of life are raging and the fury falls on me, I wonder what I have done that makes this race so hard to run. But I say to my soul, don't worry, because the Lord will make a way somehow. How do you know he'll make a way, Glenda? Because I was conceived to achieve. Don't worry about anything. You keep on walking. When you can't walk, wave your hands. Say a word, wave your hands. Let the enemy know the days that we know now, we will soon not know anymore. Let the enemy know I am preparing for a tomorrow that I can't explain to knew me. He knew you. And he formed you for such a time as this. That's why yes. I can say hallelujah to the Lamb of
hallelujah.
God. I'm thankful today. I'm thankful today. I am thankful today. I've been over a lot of mountains. I'm thankful today. I've come through a lot of valleys. I'm thankful today. I won't thank give you, up Jesus. And I won't give out and I won't give in because I am conceived to achieve. Because you are conceived to achieve. Do not look to your left or to your right, but get your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep on walking up the King's Highway on this Mother's Day in the year of our Lord, 2023. Know that mothers are special. They are loving and they are caring. And we truly thank God for all of our mothers. But even after this day ends, we still have to go forth and tell others that we were conceived by God to satisfy his great commission. My brothers and my sisters, we were all conceived to achieve. God bless you.